In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and to the ages of all ages. Amen. In the last 2 weeks of the Coptic calendar, the church has very similar readings. So you'll find the readings that were read for us today are very similar to those that will be read for us next week also, which is the last Sunday of the Coptic year. And both of these Sundays focus on the second coming of our Lord Jesus, as well as on the end of the world, and how we need to be ready for such an event. I would like to meditate with you this morning on possibly the second shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible is, you know, Jesus wept. And it was said in the miracle of raising Lazarus. And here also, this verse was mentioned to us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 17, verse 32, and it's only three words. Remember Lot's wife. And this verse was actually part of today's readings, but it was read in the Vespers raising of incense, which is in preparation for all of today's readings. And here is the context. Our Lord Jesus was speaking to mainly his disciples, his close people. He was not speaking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the people who pretended to be righteous, but they were living a big lie. He spoke to his own. He spoke to the people, as we say, his crew, the people who were just close to him and around him. And he was reminding them of an event that transpired maybe 2,000 years before the Lord was speaking, to around 2,000 BC, in what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah, because this is sort of a symbol of the end of times. And he said the following: likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, also the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And then, our focus verse for today, remember Lot's wife. To tell you the truth, I listened or I heard a meditation on this verse more than 15 years ago. And for some reason, it stuck with me all of this time, especially around this time of the year. Just because of its profound exclamation and revelation, that it is a command. It is a command by God to remember, and not only to remember, that to memorize, not only to memorize, but to take lesson to our lives on how significant was this event amongst other events. St. Macarius the Great, who lived in the desert, told a very beautiful story. I like it so much. He didn't write it with so much animation, but I will try to animate it a little bit, even though I don't make a good impression of animals, but I will do my best. He said, in the desert there were wild dogs. Okay, I don't know if you've seen the wild dogs with the like big fangs, and they look scary. Okay, they look very scary. And they were wandering around in the desert, and then they were so hungry. And then one of them spotted a gazelle, a deer. Of course, his mouth started to water. He said, dinner is being served, right? So he started barking, right? And he started running after the deer. The other wild dogs around him heard his barking. They said, if our good friend is barking, then he must see something significant. So let's go follow him. So all the wild dogs in the desert started doing what? Barking, hoo 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 hoo, and running after the dog. One after the other, after the other. And then there was a huge bunch of wild dogs running after each other. Huge bunch. And then after a while, the guy at the back, he asked the guy beside him, "Why are we running?" He had no clue. He said, "I don't know. Let me ask the guy in front of us." Everyone, hoo hoo, and running, and they don't know why they are running, but there is something good for sure at the end of this journey, but they don't know what, because they didn't see anything. So he asked the guy beside, in front of him, "Excuse me, why are we running and barking all the way?" He said, "I have no clue. Let me ask the guy in front of me." And they kept asking, and no one from the whole bunch had an idea why they were running. So what ended up happening? The guy at the very back, because he didn't see the deer at the front, he stopped. He quit at the end because he figured that it is useless. He has no clue. He's just running all this energy. He doesn't see a deer. He doesn't see anything. All he's doing, he's just following the other dog, wild dogs, and they're just running. And one after the other kept falling behind, except for the lead dog, I guess, or the big dog in the beginning, who could see the deer. He kept running and barking after it until he pounced on it and he was able to devour it or to have dinner on that day. What is the moral of this story? The moral of the story is that this is exactly what happened with Abram and Lot. The calling came to Abram in Genesis 12. God was the one who called Abraham, and he came to him and he said the following. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. You see now, Abram is the one who received the calling from God, and Abraham just tagged along, right? Abraham was Lot's uncle, okay? The Bible says that Lot was his brother's son. So, you know, Abraham set his tent. Let's go. God has called us to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and depart to the land that he will see us. Sure, uncle, let me tag along. But what ended up happening, because his calling wasn't clear from God, that when the opportunity came for Lot to choose between the two lands, after the shepherds of Lot had a big fight with Abraham's shepherds, he looked at both the plains and he looked at the busy city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he chose the big city. And we'll go into this detail after a while. And this is a big problem for you and I sometimes. We are not focused on Christ in our spiritual life. Many of our children, or even us as adults sometimes, we tag along. Everyone is going to church, we go to church. Everyone is going to a function, we go to a function. Everyone is reading Bible, we read the Bible, but we never got a personal calling or a personal depth and a relationship and a message that I know that Jesus, my Lord, is sending me personally. And this is very dangerous in our spiritual lives if we are just hanging around, because the time will come when we just lose our focus and try to remember, why is it again that we need a spiritual life? Why is it again that we need to focus on eternity or in heaven? Or why do we need means of grace such as partaking of the Holy Communion or being nourished from the Holy Scriptures? And if we don't have that clear calling from God, we'll end up losing. Here is just a little map that might help us a little bit here. Let's see. So that we'd have an idea of where Abraham lived originally. And this is where he started off, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay. I don't think you can see that, right? This is Ur of the Chaldeans, where he started, somewhere in Mesopotamia, around Iraq area. And he went all the way around. He went to Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, to Haran, and all the way down here. And you see his path until he got here in Canaan. This is the promised land here. And this is the Dead Sea. Now, a lot of theories have been said about whereabouts is Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that it is somewhere in Canaan and close to Jerusalem in this area. There are different theories on the exact location of them, but it is very probable that it is here around the Dead Sea, where there have been some remains that were discovered recently, and there are some mountains which are made completely from salt, etc. So there are some theories that say that Sodom and Gomorrah were here somewhere around the Dead Sea, which in this map would be in this area here. And of course, this is Egypt, and the Sinai Desert is here, and just a little bit north of it, where you'll find Sodom, Gomorrah, and Zoar right underneath it. Who is Lot's wife? The verse tells us, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife was a very privileged woman. She lived in a family that was so unique, because first of all, it was a very rich family. Abraham was a very rich man, and he had so many possessions and cattle and sheep and people who worked for him, etc. A very generous man. Also, Lot was likewise from this noble family. And it was a God-worshipping family, a God-fearing and God-worshipping family. It was a chosen family from God. God was the one who appeared to Abraham to give him that unique message, and she was part of that family. And here I want to point out that not all those who are related to saints or to righteous people are necessarily heading towards heaven. And the Lord Jesus dealt with this problem with the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers. They also took pride in having Abraham as their father. We have Abraham as our father. We have nothing to fear. We are confident. We are from the chosen people. But the Lord Jesus dealt with this excuse by telling them that God is able to raise from this stone children from Abraham. Don't just rely on your ancestry. Don't just rely on your whom we know and whom we don't know. Sometimes in our cultures, we are very proud because we are related to a certain person who's in the church hierarchy, or a clergy member, or someone who's well known in the country, or a minister, or this or that. And this gives us a kind of confidence, or as if it's going to give us bonus points in heaven. But this is not how God works. God sees us as individuals, as mature individuals, who are responsible for our own walk with Him. We rely on His grace, but we also live in the faith and need to make up certain decisions in life in order to ensure that we are on the right path. She came from a privileged family, but not all those who are related to righteous people are necessarily saved. They experienced God at times. God spoke with Abraham, and there was general guidance from him where to go, etc. But unfortunately, she didn't take full advantage of her status. She could have been privileged. She could have been walking in God's way. But unfortunately, the flashing of the city of Sodom and of Gomorrah and of the, all the trade that was happening. Sodom and Gomorrah were big trade cities, and also sin abounded in these cities. They chose that over her walk with God. The angel came to them after they had gone, and the Bible tells us that Lot was a righteous man indeed. And in the second epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, he tells us the following. I beg your pardon, 2nd Epistle of St. Peter 2:6-8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. St. Peter tells us that he was tortured and tormented. But you know what? When we refer back in the book of Genesis to the story that led Lot and his family and his wife to Sodom and Gomorrah, you see that sin doesn't enter to our life all of a sudden, bit by bit. It draws us in bit by bit until we are fully immersed. Now, I haven't tried this experiment before, and I don't encourage all the curious mind kids who are here to go and try it at home. Okay, I don't know if that works, but here's the story what I heard concerning the frogs. They say that if you take a frog and you throw it in hot water, what would it do? Immediately it would flex its, you know, muscles and tendons and jump right out of the hot boiling water, right? But if you bring a pan and you put cold water and you put the frog inside, it enjoys it. Very nice, right? And then you turn the heat on, the oven on, bit by bit, it is warmer. It doesn't feel that it is slowly cooking. And all of a sudden it finds itself cooked and ready to be, I don't know, for some people who eat frogs, I guess they can eat it, right? What's the difference between these two things? Sometimes we are presented with a sin. Immediately we say, forget it. This is how we've been taught and instructed, etc. But the Lord says, be careful from the little foxes that enter into the courtyard or enter into the farm, and bit by bit they start eating away. For many people, they have been brought up with certain principles in life, and they are so strict with them. If something 180 degrees comes, they say, no, we can't. But then sometimes the evil one works it slowly, bit by bit. Try this. It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's not a big deal. Just, you know, everyone is doing it. Whatever excuse comes to us, and bit by bit we are falling until one day we find ourselves very far from God. And this is exactly what happened to Lot. He was a righteous man. He wasn't a bad man. St. Peter admits that he was a good person, and he was being tormented in this place. And when he looked again at the plain in Jordan, and this story is mentioned in Genesis 14, when they fought, and what is the biggest reason for people fighting together? Why people lose their love for each other? Mainly it is financial, maybe it is jealousy, maybe it is the love of the world or love of oneself. But here the biggest problem between Abraham and Lot was because of possessions. And here is what the Bible says. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. You see, it was because of their ownership and money and possessions. We need to be extra careful. The Bible is so clear with us to tell us what we need to be careful of. And then they started to look at both places. Here is how Lot chose his part of the inheritance. Is not the whole land before you, please separate from me? If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar, which is the southern part that I showed you in the map. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. So how did the evil one draw him towards Sodom and Gomorrah? He didn't just throw him in that evil city. He drew him by beautiful plains, hills. This is a wonderful place that you could just enjoy the scenery, and all your flocks will be feeding. And then he set his eyes in that direction. But what ended up, what is the end of this road that he took? It was Sodom and Gomorrah, unfortunately. And bit by bit, his sheepfold were feeding until eventually they reached Sodom and Gomorrah. And once they were there, they couldn't head back because it was too late for them. St. Peter tells us that he was being tortured, but he can't leave. He doesn't have the willpower. And this is what happens to us when we are addicted to a certain sin or a certain behavior. We say that it is too late for us to back away now. We can't. We don't have the willpower to do it anymore. But God, who is so faithful and loving and kind, He doesn't leave us to perish away, but He wants our cooperation. God wants our cooperation. Now, there's just a story, and it's just like a little bit of a funny story. So, they went to Bill Gates, or someone who is like, you know, the creator of the computers. And the devil said, he is coming to me for sure. And heavens wanted the salvation of his soul. It's just a symbolic story, by the way, okay? I'm not against anyone. So, they both said, okay, let's show a presentation to him on what to expect, and then let him make the choice where he wants to go. So heaven started, you know, and you know, it was a nice computer presentation about heaven with the angels, and God is sitting on the throne, and all this praise and worship and joy, etc. So he looked at it, and you know, he said, okay, what else can I see? So then he saw a beautiful picture of hell. Amazing. The scenery, the beaches, you know, it was just amazing. So he said, okay, let me go to hell. So then he died and he went to hell, and he saw torture and torment, and people were having like weeping and crying. And he said, but you showed me the picture of hell, and that's why I came. He said, no, that was just a screensaver for the computer. You get it? Not so much? Okay? They just showed that it's not the real presentation. But this is how we need to be careful. God is serious about our salvation, but He is also serious about the consequence of sin. Sometimes we are afraid to fight our nature or to speak about what displeases God, saying that maybe we are pessimistic or morbid, or that we are only, you know, it's a scare technique, etc. But this is not the whole point. This is not the point of it. If I don't go to a student and tell her that unless you study, you can't pass the exam, or unless someone who is in authority is responsible for their office, they might end up, you know, having a lawsuit or kicked out of office, or any kind of responsibility or you know, with authorities, etc. Unless we can speak the truth, then we are kidding one another. And when the Lord says to us, remember Lot's wife, He's telling us, remember what happened to her. She was a woman, a privileged woman, who was able to be redeemed. She encouraged or went along with Lot when he picked the road that led to destruction towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And they basically just followed and didn't object. When God sent them the messenger, when God sent them the angel to take them out by the hand, He asked them to do something which is very simple. Just don't look back. Come out with me. I am ready to redeem you. I am ready to save you. I am ready to take you out of this land that is going to lead you to destruction. Just one thing, don't feel remorse. Don't feel that you are leaving behind something which has become a part of you. God wants us to see Him, to focus on Him, to focus on the kingdom, to be kingdom-bound congregation and communities. And this is what He wants us, my whole heart, not just part of it, but my whole heart. But unfortunately, Lot's wife looked back and she turned and she became into a pillar of salt. And this was the sad end for this wonderful story that could have happened. My beloved, I want to ask a question, and we need to answer it faithfully today. At the end of the Coptic year, where does God rank in my life? God was so adamant. In the Jewish daily prayer, they have to make this confession every single day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall have no other gods before me. God had to come number one, and they had to make this confession every single day. And I need to ask myself, I'm the first one who need to ask this question this morning. If the world comes before God, then I'm on a losing track. If any passion or sin or behavior or even family or father or mother or even service in the church, if that comes before God, before my spirituality, before my depth, before my faithfulness to the message of Christ and living the word, then there is definitely a problem. I need to ask myself today, what is it that I need to sacrifice? Am I willing to leave something out of my life in order to put God back to where He belongs? It will take hard work and sacrifice. It's not going to be easy, especially because we've come and developed so many habits in our life, and it's very hard to draw out of them. But the Lord is asking us today to make a sacrifice, to change something in our life, and not just make empty promises at the end or at the beginning of a year, but move slowly towards God and be vigilant, for the way of God leads to eternal life. But if we, with our own free will, decide to look back, just like Lot's wife today, then there might be consequences in the future. And the scriptures are very close, are very clear in this manner. Remember Lot's wife. Every time I come across this verse, it brings back a lot of memories about how serious I need to be in my spiritual walk with God, to observe His commandments and to live with Him and not fully rely on my own effort or strength, but rely on His grace so much and tell Him, Lord, I cannot do it on my own. I need Your help and I need Your aid. May the Lord bless us and strengthen us as we remember Lot's wife in this morning, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.